You're about to listen to an epic podcast, Two Dudes, One Wrench. This third episode is titled, Do You Even Lift, Bro? What's going on with Subway, man? We go to Subway about once a week here, and we just found out that they're not carrying the condiment mustard anymore.
So I brought this up to my therapist several weeks ago.
Okay. Because
it's really weighing on me.
It is.
So if it keeps up,
yeah,
I'm going to have to run for office on the platform to get mustard back in Subway.
I think that's pretty solid.
Because I don't understand how one of the most important sandwich ingredients next to the bread is missing.
That's kind of like Epic running here and just say we don't sell tires anymore.
Yeah.
It just doesn't make sense to me.
I don't know. It's the strangest thing. One time they didn't even tell me they didn't have it. When I said yellow mustard, they put on something different.
The Dijon mustard.
Looked, I'm like, that's not yellow. Color wasn't even yellow. I'm like, what do you think? I was born yesterday. I've been eating subs longer than you've had this job.
That is true. All of this is true. He actually said this.
It just killed me.
It was a lot of fun.
They're also out of the footlong cookie, by the way.
Oh, the footlong
cookie. It's not there anymore.
I don't know. I heard the mustard thing was just a Canadian thing, but maybe it's in the States too. Maybe people can tell us. Put it in the comments. Let us know if it's if your Subway is taken away.
You tell me if I need to run for office and get this fixed.
Get this fixed. I agree. Cool. So today's episode, this is our third episode, and this is we're going to call this one, Do You Even Lift, Bro? That's what we're calling this one, because we're going to talk about suspensions.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I was definitely unprepared. I was busy doing rails of creatine in the gym for this podcast.
Okay.
Shoot.
Darn it. Okay. But before we begin, as always, this is Two Dudes, One Wrench. And today we have a wrench on the table. Tell us what this is, because it looks really small.
Today, it's not the size, Paul. It's how you use it.
Okay.
This is a blue point, double-ended, so you can use it both ends.
On double ends. Wow.
Yeah. It'll do quarter inch.
Quarter inch.
And it'll do a bit.
Yes.
And does that ratcheting thing. It's Blue Point, which is like the Walmart of Snap-on.
The Walmart of Snap-on.
Yeah, so this is the cheaper one, which means it's probably only 6 months of payments.
6 months of payments for that
so
one.
So it still has I think it has a warranty for life.
Yeah.
I don't want to test it.
Yeah, just in case.
But
I have seen you use this wrench many, many times working on Jeeps.
It is one of the most used tools in my toolbox, surprisingly, because of how useful it is. It's probably one I could just put in the car glove box. It's so important.
Super handy.
You know, you know, you know.
That's our wrench for today. So today we wanted to talk about suspensions. So based on the last few podcasts, all the questions we've gotten so many questions. And we kind of touched on suspensions a little bit when we talked about the Mojave. That was our first episode. And we got tons and tons of questions about it on all our social channels just to talk more about suspension. And also to talk about overlanding or / overloading is what we call it and how you carry weight in a Gladiator or a Wrangler. So that came up a lot too. So that's what we want to talk about today. That was the topic and done. See, you brought some papers with you. Yes, he's actually prepared today, folks. We brought some actual...
I wrote an essay.
He wrote an essay that he's going to now read out for the next 4 hours. No, it's not going to be 4 hours. We're not Joe Rogan's podcast.
It's not
going to
be 4 hours. We don't have that much hard drive space.
We're not that interesting either. So
definitely not. We're not talking about aliens.
Yeah, no, not at all. So if we look at suspensions, is kind of how people come in here when they come into Epic. They just say, hey, here's my price range or my budget range. We kind of back it up a bit. But really, maybe let's start with that. And I see that's what you got.
To be honest, since the JL platform, nobody really mentions budget.
Yeah, that's true.
So we just prefix it with, what do you want to do with this vehicle?
Right.
Where do you want to go?
Right.
And I don't mean like, how big do you want to go? It's like, where physically do you want to take this vehicle? Is it Costco? Is it the Canucks game?
Yeah.
Is it the Death Valley? Is it Moab? What do you want to do with it? So, and then it goes after that. It's like, how big a tire do you want to run? Because it's very important. Or where do you see yourself going? Like, we might as well consider the build from the beginning, even if you're not planning to get to the end on the first purchase.
Gotcha. So,
obviously, one of the most important things, what are you going to do with it? So, are we going to weekend wheel it? Are we just driving around for show? Are we off-roading it? Or are we overlanding it?
Right.
Yes.
Overlanding.
A lot of people, most of them come in and they go,
I'm an overlander.
I'm not going to do the crazy wheeling you do.
We actually get that a lot. People come in and say, like, I don't do what you guys do.
I don't really do crazy wheeling.
Yeah.
Nate does crazy wheeling.
Correct.
We just drive and find places to camp away from humans.
Yeah.
But what they don't realize is it actually takes more effort and better quality parts to drive safely on-road than on-road. It does off-road.
Especially carrying weight as well, which we'll get
to. Oh, especially carrying weight, which we will get to.
We will definitely get to.
My blood pressure is already rising.
Awesome. Okay. All right. So maybe let's start with the different price ranges and things that we have, and then we'll kind of dive into what that includes.
All right. So for topic's sake, just consider we're just talking about right now a gas Rubicon Gladiator. That's all we're going to reference this podcast. It's very similar back and forth. We can touch on other things later, but at least we'll all stay in the same ballpark.
Okay. Gotcha.
So what I have here is four of our most common build styles. Now, there's obviously less you can do. There's more you can do. But realistically, these are the four we like to do. And what I like to classify them is basically like base, overland, performance. Yeah. Now, the reason I did that, base, this is the lowest we'll ever do for somebody. Anything less than this, we feel it's going to sacrifice the $80,000 vehicle's driving quality.
Right, the ride quality. You don't want to make it worse.
So in the base, we're using TerraFlex parts, and there's a reason we're using TerraFlex parts. We've tried a lot of different parts, and we've just find they make a very good complete package ecosystem of parts that tend to do very well, one, in our climate, which is something you need to consider.
Yeah.
It's not just what you're doing with the vehicle, where do you live primarily? Because living in Arizona is different than living in Canada.
Right. Different than the Pacific Northwest, right? Most people think of that.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
So what we do is we pick what we think we need out of the TerraFlex system. We usually don't do their big kit. We pick the parts we need that we know customers will go with.
Right.
So we start off with a base box. So the box usually includes the coil springs front and rear, the sway bar links front and rear, the bump stop extensions front and rear, track bar brackets front. If it's a JL, it would have rear as well, just because that's how the boxes were designed. And then we add the rear track bar bracket for a Gladiator, and it's a 3.5 inch. Why do we do a 3.5 inch? Really simple.
Yeah, why?
Over 3 inches, we can now use drop brackets. Now, I know it's a swear word in the industry. Trust me, I've been through this conversation 1,000 times.
We have, yeah.
I know people that could not get out of their driveway because of the clearance taken away from their drop brackets. But not everyone's like that. Some people know how to drive.
Correct.
So we do drop brackets so that it changes the geometry of the control arm so that it handles better. They're more parallel. They go over bumps better. The pinion angle operates better.
Right.
All the alignment things get fixed. It's like a win-win, and it costs less than a pair of control arms.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that. Then we personally add a 1/2 inch rear spring spacer to every lift because we feel most of the way people design lifts for Gladiators, they end up being nose high.
Yeah,
we try and get it a little bit more level or just slightly above level in the rear because everyone's going to put weight in it.
Yeah. We like just a tiny bit of rake.
Yeah.
But generally for most people, by the time they add a rack on there or something, then it comes down pretty level.
Exactly.
But yeah,
so
that's why we do that.
Now, we usually let the customer choose their choice of TerraFlex Falcon shocks.
Right.
So the base would be a 2.1 Falcon shock, which is the mono tube, which only has two settings when installed. You can do firmer or softer when you spin the shaft.
Yeah.
And that's not a euphemism. It's actually how you physically do it. There's a sticker. Tells you to.
Okay.
So
gotcha.
We put that in.
Turn your shaft. Gotcha.
Then their choice of a Nexus steering stabilizer from Falcon. Mostly now we just sell the 2.1 that's non-adjustable because since 21 forward.
With the new steering box,
the new steering box is now cast steel. It is tighter. So if you get the adjustable steering stabilizer, firm setting is too firm to use. So you basically are only getting medium and soft. And honestly, medium will do most everything. So why not just buy the one, save yourself $100 or something like
so
that.
So pre-21, did you say? For
Pre-21.
Pre-21, you have the aluminum steering box.
Which was a bit of a sloppy whore.
Yeah, it was a bit of slop in it. And so they changed that out. So you can tell when you look just inside your driver fender well.
Yeah, it'll either be silver or rusted.
Yeah, so silver or rusted. If it's black or rusted, then you have the steel one.
Yep.
Which, tends to firm up the steering quite a bit.
So this is one of those times. Rust good.
Yeah.
No rust bad.
No rust bad. Yeah. If you happen to have a pre-21 and you want to tighten up the steering a little bit, you can just go to your dealership, right?
If you're under warranty,
there
is a technical service bulletin you can print off from the interwebs, or
usually,
if you're nearby, we'll give it to you.
Yeah, we always give
and
it.
And you can take it to your dealership and be like, my steering's all over the road on the highway. And they'll replace your steering box under warranty for free.
Yeah, we've done that a lot. Yeah.
So that's a great starting point. Almost really good to do that before you get the lift in case you happen to have one of those difficult dealers that sees the Jeep a little taller and gets confused how to work on it.
Yes.
So the other thing we usually add, because we're going to take it into account that all three of these builds and everybody else in the world wants 37s on their Gladiator, right?
Oh, you got to have 37s like on a Gladiator.
I don't even think 35s fit on them.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. So we add a Metal Cloak track bar to
this
the rear.
Ridiculous talk.
Because it has a nice bend in it that once you get rid of the heat shield, you can put a 37 up there.
Yeah. A lot of people
nicely.
Don't. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that. But yeah, the
so
Metal
Cloak.
So
it isn't wedged on an angle or rubbing up against something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so Metal Cloak rear track bar. We always do that so you can fit a 37 under the bed. Yes. Yeah.
So how much do you think something like this will cost?
Oh, I don't know. Tell me.
I also converted all this to U.S. currency.
You didn't.
Yes.
Okay.
I was able to use...
I'm going to get super confused.
An internet website.
I'm going to be really confused.
So installed.
Yes, installed.
$3,800 US.
Oh, wow.
And honestly, I'd say over 50% of our customers have this and have never needed anything else.
Yeah. And there's no wheels and tires on there.
This is not wheels and tires because...
Just suspension.
Wheels and tires cost pretty much the same no matter what you do. So there's no point in talking about wheels and tires.
Yep.
So
say again, so $3,800 for your base.
$3,800 plus applicable taxes.
Yep.
Will get you into a 3.5-inch lift.
Right.
That'll fit a 37. Right. That'll carry a 37. That'll drive safely on the road as aggressively as you feel like.
Yep.
And off-road whatever trails you throw at it with a Rubicon, you already have the sway bar disconnect.
Right. So a lot of people that we do this lift for, they come back or they either drive back right away and always wonder why they're driving back, or they phone us later when we do a follow-up or whatnot, and they just say the vehicle drives so much better than it does stock because Rubicons are typically a lot softer of a suspension, especially in corners and handling on the highway.
People driving typically, a Rubicon down the street feels like two different companies designed the suspension.
Right.
One did the front, one did the back.
Right.
So you get to drive down the street like we're back in the old days, on a horse. So it's like, doom, 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 doom. It's literally all it does. It just keeps going back and forth.
Yeah.
So you have to take gravel while you drive to work.
You do take gravel, yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't even make sense. So now let's move on to the next batch of people.
Yes.
Overlanders.
Overlanders.
So this is what I would consider
overlanders.
A standard overland build for a lot of people that come in here. We're not going overboard on this.
Yeah.
This is going to be some very basic stuff. This is going to be, you know, like I said,
yeah,
Rubicon, gas, Gladiator.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to assume this guy came in and was like, I'm either going to put a rack and a tent or a canopy that's metal and a tent.
Like a smart cap or
an
RSI or
so
something.
So here's where we're going to go with it. We're going to use the same base kit box.
What?
What? But we are going to upgrade the rear springs to HD springs.
You're not.
Yes. Okay, we're going to use the TerraFlex HD springs, which I'll explain all HD springs in due time.
Oh, yes.
We'll get into that debate. That'll allow it to carry the load better.
Right.
Because it is usually somewhere between 100 to 300 pounds above normal carrying.
Right.
It's meant to hold up. So that in account, we'll figure all that out later.
Yeah.
So we're then going to add the drop brackets, track bar bracket, the rear spring spacers like we did before.
Right.
Where things differ, we're going to add a Hellwig rear sway bar.
Who?
From the sport truck world. You know what this does?
What's a Hellwig?
Yeah. It is tighter.
Tighter. I like things tighter.
It helps control your body roll. And the body roll gets worse the more weight you put on at higher levels,
right,
like tents and racks and campers. Great idea. We're also going to do Falcon adjustable 3.3 series socks, so you can dial in softer or firmer to compensate for the weight load you're carrying.
Yeah.
We'll do that. We do the same Nexus steering stabilizer, 2.1. Okay. We're then going to add that Metal Cloak track bar. We're going to install it all. We're going to get it all good to go so the customer can go have fun. And that is going to come in at...
Yeah, tell us. What is it going to come in at?
$5,600 US.
$5,600 US. Holy cow.
Now, the main upgrade to all of that is just we added HD springs.
To the rear.
A sway bar.
Hellwig sway bar.
And we doubled the cost of the shocks because they're now...
Adjustable.
Adjustable and
with
longer.
With a reservoir, yeah.
They're just... And so long desert roads for hours.
Yep. So a lot of people like those Falcon shocks. Again, yes, because in the rear, if you're carrying extra weight, you can, you know, basically set them firmer in the rear, softer in the front. All kind of depends on what you want to do.
Now, do you know why we use Falcon shocks?
Can you please tell me? So, I personally know.
You know?
But I don't want to spoil it for people.
You don't want to spoil it.
No, I'd rather you told people.
So, guys, every time we sell some, they send us a Visa gift card for $100.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. But I really would like it. So, Joe, yeah, send my card.
Joe at Terraflex, please make that happen.
What actually is, it's one of the few shocks that come with hard anodized coating because they're aluminum.
Right.
Which means they don't turn all corroded colors like your Warren Fairlead does.
Yep.
In this type of climate.
Yeah, so we have in the Pacific Northwest, we have winter, right? As people know, again,
it's a winter
and it's
yeah,
wet here all the time.
Yeah, so it's a rainforest.
Our rainforests, our forests are wet, so we're constantly hitting with wet and mud and dirt and everything.
It's bad.
And then we have the salt on the roads. Yep. And also
and
have
a bunch of other chemicals, bunch of like beet juice and brine. And
yeah, we have the brine that's on the roads. Oh. So those will eat up shocks really quickly and make them, like within 3 months, they'll look like
rust.
They're, yeah, they look super old.
Why do you think my hair is this color?
Yeah, let's not get into that. But yeah, so that, you know, having that coating on the shocks, you can have those shocks. We've pulled shocks off of one of our own Gladiators after 2 years, and besides the sticker being damaged a little bit, they look pretty new.
Like, and
they
the
look
sticker was great. Damaged from the tires or anything else or something, but they pretty much hold up. We have several customers have had them for years, and they have not even looked different.
Yeah, so that's super cool. But that's one of the reasons why we choose that.
That's one
product.
Of the main reasons. Two, three-year warranty.
Yeah, the three-year warranty.
So most shocks have a 1 year warranty.
Right.
There are some on the market that have a lifetime, but be wary of lifetime warranty stuff.
Right.
It's usually because it's so cheap they can send them out repeatedly, really cheap.
Yeah.
So, but that's really
okay, so that's our that's our Overlander package.
Yeah, that's
right?
The Overlander package.
Yeah.
Now,
tell us what's behind door number three.
Let's say you're a little bit spicier.
Okay.
You like to drive fast.
I am a bit spicier.
Or you like to off-road and do all kinds of things that Overlanders can't follow you.
Right, gotcha.
Then I bring out the performance. Now, there is more you can do to this.
Oh, there's always
because
more.
Because we're not talking about long arm right now.
Yeah. There's always
all of these suspensions are reversible. None of them are permanently removing stuff from your vehicle.
Right, yeah.
So, this is the performance lift. We are going to go full-blown Terraflex 3.5-inch Alpine RT3 extended travel system.
That sounds really impressive.
It's a lot of stuff.
That sounds really
you
impressive.
Pay per word.
Per word
so
on the name of the product.
So what does that mean? Yeah. That means 3.5-inch lift.
Right.
Front and rear.
Right.
That means all Alpine IR flexible control arms.
Right. All eight of them.
All eight.
Yep.
That means speed bumps in the front.
Right. Speed bumps.
So if you land hard, it'll help.
Right.
That means
I've used
track
those before.
Bars.
Track bars, yep.
That means all the bracketry in the rear diff to allow for up to 16 to 17 inches of rear travel.
So that's the extended rear travel
more
system.
More travel than the front.
Yeah, it's pretty wild.
This
that
is a
system.
New sway bar above the frame.
Right.
Similar to like an anti-rock.
Yeah.
But Terraflex's spin on it.
Relocates it above
with
the frame.
With really long sway bar links, as well as all the bracketry for them to hook to. We have coil retention hardware to hold the rear coil top and bottom so it can't fall out
so
of the truck because it has so much travel.
Right.
And all the parts to drop down the drive line, the e-brakes, and all the pieces to extend it. And then we're going to add drop brackets to that because they didn't put drop brackets, but we know the vitalness of drop brackets and driving fast.
You're going to have control arms and drop brackets.
Yes.
This
you
is crazy.
Can combine the two. Your vehicle will not explode.
Okay.
I promise.
Good to know.
If your vehicle does explode, I'll give them your number and they can call you.
Okay. Fair enough.
We add our normal HD steering to this.
Right.
So we've upgraded to the heavy duty tie rod and the drag link.
Right.
And thus allows us to take our Nexus steering stabilizer mounted above it.
Right.
Comes
flip
with all
it
the
above
hardware.
The tie rod. Right.
We obviously do the Falcon adjustable 3-3 shocks.
Right.
Because why wouldn't you? We add the metal cloak track bar so you can fit the 37 underneath.
Right.
Then it's a lot more of an extensive install, so there is a lot more labor on this.
Yeah.
But all in all, this lift is going to run you
installed
under 12,000 US.
What the deuce? Okay, wow.
Under 12,000 US.
So that's kind of, we do that once in all. We've done that to some of our own vehicles. So again, the nice thing about Epic is we have our own vehicles that we drive and do daily, right? Daily drivers, we take them on different types of trips and we go extreme. And then we also have friends like Sean that do extreme as well. But essentially, we've done all these lifts on our own vehicles and being able to see the difference in them, right? So my last Gladiator was the EcoDiesel Gladiator. I had pretty much had that system.
Yeah, you pretty much had this kind of because we pieced it together as this stuff became existing in life.
Yeah.
So that's literally three different builds, none of which are permanent.
Right.
We go from 3,800 to just under
12,000 bucks. Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
And then just for argument's sake, what's above your performance? When you go above your performance, you get into like a long arm kit.
So above performance, we can go, wow, we can add long arm system to the front. We can add long arm system to the rear with it.
Right.
We can add coilovers to the front.
Right.
Some kits can even add coilovers to the rear. You can just keep going. Yeah. You can keep going until you run out of money or your wife divorces you.
But pretty much 99.99% of the people are going to fit into one of these three categories,
yes.
right? Is what we have. So, yeah. So talking about parts, we kind of touched on that, you know, as far as what parts we get. Why do we use TerraFlex as opposed to other parts? Mainly, we'd like the fit and finish of the product, the engineered product for our climate.
So I've used a lot of products, even before I was in the industry. I've used a lot, everything. And some work great but require more maintenance.
Right.
Some work poorly.
Right.
Some work amazing and require no maintenance. All in all, I want what I purchase to not only function, I want it to have a little amount of maintenance, if any, and I want it to look good, really. Yeah. I want all of the above. Like, the vehicles are expensive now. I don't want it to look like crap. I don't want it to rust or corrode. So there's I've had everything from, like, Bilsteins to Kings to Fox to like, I've had them all.
We've seen it all.
And I'm not saying they don't drive well.
Yeah.
I'm saying I don't want to look at it not looking good.
Yeah, that's part of it.
So, and living up here has restricted a few things we're doing.
Right.
I also might not want to have my vehicle down while I'm getting something rebuilt, sent away to be rebuilt or something.
I hear that a lot. It comes up as people ask, is this rebuildable? Is that rebuildable? So when you talk about shocks, are they rebuildable? You see that a lot with Kings and other ones.
All of the higher end Fox, all the Kings, I think, and the Falcons are all rebuildable.
Yep. I would just, again, to what your point is, I would just prefer not to ever have to rebuild it.
No, I would prefer to buy a new shock in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
And rather than rebuild it, and then I just start over. Like, because the cost of rebuilding is not like $50.
No, it's quite expensive.
So, and it's time, and maybe it's time your vehicle's not drivable.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's taking up time on a hoist somewhere. So it's not really worth it to me.
So when you come into a place like us, like Epic, but in your shop in your area, when you come to a place, what are the, when you talk about suspensions with the shop you're at, what are some of the questions that people should be asking, right?
A couple of things you should ask is, where did your stuff come from?
Right.
Where was it made?
Right.
Because you can get stuff made everywhere that's good, but there are some areas aren't as good. So it's good to know. I always bring up the thing, when people bring up certain brands and then what we're putting in, I say, if I could put it all on the table with no logos on any of the stuff, either brand, you're going to choose the TerraFlex stuff.
Right.
A lot of people have come into us and they're like, I didn't even ask for this from some other place they got it from. Or like, this is not what I asked for, but I, which I find weird that someone would pay for something they didn't ask to get.
Right.
But it happens, apparently.
Yep.
Know what you're getting. Know what's inside the package you're getting. Realistically, the more you know about a vehicle you go off-road, in case one day you have to figure it out by yourself,
You should know what's
it's a good idea. Also, make sure you know what the warranty is. A lot of shops might cover some of the labor warranty the first year, but realistically, none of the parts have
a labor warranty.
They all have a parts warranty. And most of it's a year. Some companies have like lifetime on unbreakable hard parts.
Right.
There's no such thing as unbreakable.
Well, that's true. Yeah, we found that out.
That out on several occasions.
Yeah.
But just know what's covered and what's not. Know what's in your vehicle.
Yeah.
Definitely ask, like, is this the best? Is this what I should be buying?
Right. And so now we talk about what we like to call overloading. So when people come
the
in,
the new trend.
The new trend is called overlanding, but we call it overloading. We've seen some super, super scary setups that people come in with a heck of a lot of weight. So I don't think people really understand when you talk about payload and towing capacity and those kind of things like that and what they're actually putting on their Gladiator. So maybe let's touch on that. And I see you've brought some figures with you as well.
Oh, because I'm not good remembering numbers. I wrote down a lot of numbers.
Yeah, a lot of numbers have been written for this podcast.
I had to write them down so I didn't forget. But once again, we're going to deal with a Rubicon Gas Gladiator.
Yes, let's deal with that one. Yeah.
Now, the payload of that said Gladiator is 12,000 pounds, give or take, depending on certain options.
1,200 pounds?
Or sorry, 1,200 pounds. Yeah. You wish it was 12,000 pounds.
It's not 12,000. So 1,200 pounds.
That is a lot of scottles.
Yeah.
So 1,200 pounds, give or take 50. right. up or down.
Right.
It's all based on the options. If you add steel bumper package, if you add all of it, it comes off, goes on, whatever. The tow rating,
yeah.
6,000 pounds.
6,000 pounds.
Despite the Gladiator's advertised as 7 to 7,200 pound tow rating.
Right, but a Rubicon is not.
Yeah. No, a Rubicon or a Mojave is definitely not. A diesel is not.
Right, yeah.
The only one that really has that high tow rating is like a
Sport.
Empty
yeah, Sport S.
Sport S or Max Tow, however yeah. you want to call it,
yep.
that's gas.
Right.
Like, that's it.
Yep.
So, that said...
So, you got 1,200 pounds of payload, typically in a Rubicon Gladiator. You got 6,000 pounds of towing capacity.
So, do you know how payload works?
I do, but I think maybe for everybody else, let's go on this. You and I already had a really spirited discussion about this, but
let's go ahead.
It went on for an hour.
Payload.
Yeah. Payload. Explain payload.
Counts for everything on or in your vehicle minus a 150-pound driver.
Only a 150-pound driver?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I would have to, for this demonstration, I'm going to be the passenger in this case.
Oh, we're doomed.
And I'm going to put my wife in the driver's seat okay. so that we can actually fit into this equation.
Okay, gotcha.
So, 1,200 pounds.
Right.
My wife driving.
Yeah.
Me in the passenger seat.
Right.
We have 900 pounds now.
You have 900 pounds left.
Yeah. Left. Yeah. That's it. We have nothing else in the car. Not even a fucking stick of gum.
Not even a stick of gum.
Not
is in the
even
car.
A stick of gum.
Okay.
So, we're down to 900 pounds. Yeah. Everything. So I'm telling you, if you put a steel bumper and a winch,
right.
it takes away from payload.
Right. Yeah.
If you put a big dog in the back that weighs 150 pounds, right. 150 pounds off payload.
Right.
To give you an idea.
Never mind all the other gear, people, but I'm sure you're going to get to that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All the other gear. Now, that said, every ounce of payload
yeah.
also takes away from the allowable tongue weight you can handle.
Right, yeah.
Because tongue weight is part of payload.
Right, correct.
If you want to tow an off-road trailer, which, by the way, if you can tow a 6,000-pound off-road trailer,
right,
that is not what they want you to tow with a Gladiator.
Right.
Like, yeah. realistically, you don't want to tow a max amount of what your thing
no,
says.
No, you want to stay under. You don't
so
want
say your trailer's 6,000 pounds empty.
Right.
It's already too heavy for you, pretty much.
Right.
So if you're going to hook it up to the tongue weight, can't have anything else in the vehicle.
Right.
Because you're going to pretty much hold this. Now, all these numbers are not saying that you can't do it or that the vehicle won't somehow manage to pull it off.
Yeah.
They're just telling you what the numbers are on the door.
Right.
And in our particular, where we live, those are rule. Like, those are law.
Yeah, you get pulled over for a vehicle inspection in British Columbia, and if you look too heavy, they'll look at the door sticker, they'll open your driver door, and there it is right there. And if they even think, even remotely think, that you're close to that or over
they'll
that.
They'll pull out their portable weigh scales.
Yeah, no, but that'd be cool, but no.
No, no, CVSE agents
have them. Sorry, yeah, CVSE, so that's our commercial vehicle inspectors we have here.
Yeah.
Sorry, so you're right. So they will do that on the side. They do have the portable weigh scales. Typically, that's not what happens. Typically, it's a police officer, VI, and you have to go for a vehicle inspection.
Sean was pulled over.
That's true,
towing.
He was. That's true.
So if they had seen you, say you had a Gladiator,
and right.
it's pretty outfitted with
right.
a lot of cool overland gear,
right.
and then you had a trailer, but your ass end was sagging pretty good,
yep.
they have a, that's a good red flag for them to pull you
right.
and put yep. the weigh scales right under you there, and you'll have to tow them all home.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, they'll have, yep. they'll call the flat deck.
Yeah.
And then a whole bunch of other fun stuff happens.
But that being said, if you're at the max rating, in this case 6,000 pounds, again, that's pretty heavy. Everything about your vehicle is being stressed pretty darn hard.
Yes.
So if you go over that, which again we'll get to, but people are over that.
Yes.
If you're over that, then your brakes are stressed hard, your engine's stressed hard, your transmission, everything is working harder. And so, yeah, so carry on. We'll go into different types of, yeah, pull out the numbers. Here we go.
So.
And these are based on actual examples from our clients.
These are so, actual examples.
Yeah, actual examples from our actual clients. Yeah, doing this.
And take into account, when you read onto a website and be like, yeah. oh, my camper weighs this much.
Yeah.
They're telling you the lowest amount possible that probably is not even correct.
Right.
Much yeah. like when you see a manufacturer advertise fuel economy.
Yeah. Yeah, that
so,
too.
Done but in yeah, an air tunnel.
But we find that with tents. Like, tents will say, hey, it's only 160 pounds, and you weigh the tent, it's 200 pounds.
Yeah.
So how do they get away with saying the tents?
Well, a lot of times they say it doesn't include ladder.
Yeah, it doesn't
Meanwhile,
include ladder,
attached.
Doesn't include the cover, or doesn't include anything. Like, but yeah, but that's the idea is yeah. just be careful and understand
so
what you're getting.
So you've got to understand what you got. Yeah. I'm not saying don't do it, because yeah. I would be hard-pressed to bet most overland vehicles are overloaded.
Overloaded.
Period.
Yeah, period.
So, just to give you an idea.
Yeah, let's run down an example from one of our clients.
Campers are really popular.
They are.
Right?
Seen so many.
So you have a camper on your truck.
I have a camper.
Yeah. It's a go fast camper.
It's a go fast camper. It makes me go faster.
Why does it allow you to go so fast?
Aerodynamics.
I was going to say more because it doesn't weigh that much.
That is true. It does not.
So, how much do you think one weighs for a Gladiator?
For a Gladiator, 300 pounds?
No. 275.
275.
So that would be without crossbars.
I believe that with a GoFast. GoFast are light. Yeah.
We've lifted them with a forklift.
Yeah.
275 pounds.
Okay.
A smart cap, 212 pounds.
212 for a smart cap.
No tent involved. That's just a smart cap.
Just a cap.
So, and that is stainless steel as opposed to the GoFast is mostly aluminum.
Mostly aluminum, but yeah.
So, and has a tent involved. But, and another thing, people have to carry fuel.
Yes, they do.
So most people carry 1 to 2 20-liter jugs.
And they don't factor that into their equation.
I'm not explaining what liters are right now, but for a 20-liter jerry can, which is the normal size, 35 pounds
35
for
pounds.
One of gas.
Okay.
45
what's
pounds.
What's that in gallons, sorry?
I don't know.
Okay.
That's why I said I didn't know.
Okay.
45 pounds 45 for pounds. A 20-liter jerry can of water.
Right.
Yes, water is heavier than gas.
What?
So if you're really pinching to save weight, drink gas, everybody.
Drink gas.
Save water.
Save water. It's lighter.
It'll be better on fuel economy.
Gas is lighter than water.
Yeah.
Man, I think you're Bill Nye right now, man.
Yeah, well, we're trying something. Now.
Okay, yeah.
Alucab.
Yes.
Beautiful.
We see so many Alucabs up
beautiful
here.
Beautiful unit.
Yeah, they're cool.
There's definitely not a nicer one on the market.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
They weigh 465 pounds empty. With no options.
I've never seen an empty one.
No,
have
I've
you?
Never I've seen never, an empty one either. So let's just see there. 465 pounds.
Right.
Everyone buys the water tank.
Right. Yeah, the water tank.
The water tank's full of water, 130 pounds.
Okay.
So we're now at 595 pounds.
Right.
Basically 600.
Right.
I've never seen one without the shadow awning.
Yeah, everybody has a shadow on
That's
it.
That's another
awesome.
52 pounds.
Wow, okay.
So we're now at like 650 pounds.
Okay.
650 pounds. We don't even have any food.
Don't have a fridge.
Don't have sleeping gear.
Don't have sleeping gear. Or...
So if we put this 650 pounds,
right.
Then we add the fat frickin' passenger, which would be me. So we're like 300 and something. I don't want to look at a scale. So we're now at we're almost at 1,000 now.
Yeah.
A lightweight driver.
Right.
Fattest shit passenger.
Okay.
Alucab, water tank, shadow awning.
Yeah.
We now have 200 and change for the rest of our gear.
Right.
Until we're overloaded.
So that's all my clothes, extra shoes, a lot of cases.
How
axes,
much
tool kit, like a tool
I should have checked
heavy.
How much a fridge weighs.
Yeah, the
fridge got to be at least 30.
Like a Dometic or Airbnb
fridge.
Right? Oh yeah, easy. Never mind the food that goes in it.
And the food that goes in it.
Okay, so we're basically with our typical setup that we see with overloading is they're basically at capacity or over capacity.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
what you're getting at. Okay.
Well, because just think, like say you had an Alucab and a water tank and a shadow awning.
Yeah.
What if you had a dual swing bumper?
Oh yeah, a lot of people have those because how do you carry your spare?
Well, that's over 200 pounds.
Yeah.
The spare that's on it is about 120 pounds.
All right.
For a 37. So now we're at 320 pounds.
Right.
So right now, if you added that plus an Alucab, plus a water tank, plus shadow awning, plus a fat passenger, we're at or over capacity.
We're over capacity.
We're done.
Yep.
We have to leave the entire Alucab empty.
Yeah, just leave it empty.
You can't bring anything.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And that's not saying it'll hold that weight up either.
No.
Like
and again, you're not saying about, most people have a nice front bumper. They have a winch in the front. Well, there's a couple hundred pounds.
Rock sliders.
Rock sliders are heavy.
100 to 100, you're looking like 100 to 150 per side.
Per side. So there's 300 pounds
of rock sliders. So 300 pounds of rock smashing capability.
Okay. So is it safe to say then, based on your figures and what you got there and just our experience, if you add all that up, we're almost at double our payload capacity.
We're going to get there.
For a lot of our clients that we see come in here. Yeah. Okay.
When a person comes to you and be like, my Jeep's really slow.
Make it go faster. Yeah.
I'll give you a hint.
Yeah.
It has something to do with all the crap on your vehicle.
Yeah, it does.
But that's not to say you can't do it.
Yeah.
Legally, it's a big gray area.
It's a big gray area.
But for the most part, you just have to be thinking a lot smarter in your build.
Right.
Like if that's the type of build you're going for, Rock crawling's probably not your game.
No, but you can do it.
You can do it.
We got a few clients right now in Moab doing it with pretty much that exact setup.
Yeah, they have a Super right Pacifica now. On it and stuff like that. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Trailers.
Trailers. Okay. Yeah, let's talk about trailers.
I didn't want to dig too far in because I have absolutely no interest in trailers, I was getting bored.
Care so about trailers, but anyways, but let's a lot talk of
about that
them.
New camper that our buddy Marco's driving around with.
Yeah,
Patriot. The Patriot X3 camper. Gen 2.
Yes, he has
beautiful
the
trailer. I can't wait to see
it. It's gorgeous,
and I have no doubt the food that comes out of that trailer is top notch, Michelin star.
Oh, for sure it is.
At all hours of the night.
Which we'll experience in June. Yes.
Yes, I hope so. Yeah. So that trailer. Dry is 2,500 pounds.
Okay.
Looks like it could be about 2,500 pounds because, like, it's not a live-in one. It's got a pop-up tent. Tents are fairly light, the fabric at least.
Yep.
Loaded says 3,500 pounds.
Right. Because it's got water on board. It's got it's got a whole bunch of
fridge,
stuff on board.
It's got a pop-up tent. I think it's power. I think it opens itself.
I think it's power as well. Yeah.
Fuel. You have all your stuff.
Yeah.
So it's got a tongue weight of 394, apparently.
Yep.
Tongue weight, we take that away from our payload.
Correct.
Yeah. So that means if the vehicle's empty and we put this on the tongue, we now have 800 pounds or so.
Yeah, just over 800 pounds of
payload available.
Payload available, yeah.
Safely.
Yeah.
Legally.
Legally.
Okay. And the payload that they did all their crash testing with.
Right, yeah.
And tested stopping distance with your brakes.
Right.
Down a hill, all kinds of stuff.
Right, yeah.
The frame handling it over long terrain. Yep. Abuse, that stuff. So we got to take this into account. Anyone that has a lot of weight,
right?
You're asking us to basically make magic happen.
Yeah.
And you want your vehicle to, be level.
Yeah. Can my truck be level, please?
All the time. When it's full and empty, I want it level all the time.
Yeah.
That's where air suspension comes in sometimes. Right. But when it comes down to it, HD springs.
Yep. So now, this is a hot topic right now in our area.
It's a
huge
topic.
And we get a lot of calls on this right now because on the market now, just in the last couple of years, there's all these different HD springs on there.
It took a while.
It took a while for people to engineer it.
It took a while. There's really only three.
Yeah. Okay.
So questions you ask me, what should you ask for?
Yeah.
So questions you got to ask, you need to ask questions about the springs. The springs are one of those things that really need to come up as a topic because a lot of companies out there... basically, if you want a spring to be heavier, they just give you the taller one.
Right. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, well, this 4.5-inch spring, maybe it'll sit 3.5 when you put all your weight on it.
We've come across that a bit.
Yeah. Or some companies rehash springs. Well, this was a JK spring.
Yeah.
We're just going to use it here.
Yeah. Or they give you two right springs.
Or they'll give you two right springs instead of a right and a left, so it'll sit level.
Because one spring is a little bit longer because it's...
Some companies
are a little bit longer to support a gas tank on one side, so they just give you two of the right spring or the left spring or whatever
so stuff
is.
Like that.
Stuff
so
like that.
These are all questions you need to ask. Don't just take it because there's a title on it.
Right.
That's going to
Or I just use
gun.
A regular spring and I throw a one-inch spacer in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, you know... The spacers are there, but your spring will still be overcompressed and overloaded.
Correct.
That has nothing to do. You're just overloaded, but now taller.
Yeah.
So, realistically, you have three companies to choose from.
Okay.
And they're good companies.
Yep.
So
all three are great.
Obviously, the first one on our list is TerraFlex. And why is it the first?
Yeah.
Not because I think it's the best.
No.
Because it's the lowest weight range.
Right.
TerraFlex HD spring is good for like 100 to 300 pounds above stock vehicle weight payload type
That's not that much.
No, it's really not.
Based on the numbers we just went through, if people are almost double over with the example you have.
It goes well with people that just do like a rack and tent type of situation. Yep.
So that's pretty much a normal thing now when we're doing a Gladiator build because most people just want to have a rack and a tent on the back and some gear. Generally, we're adding those springs, as you said, you know, up to 300
pounds. So that's a 3.5-inch spring, too.
3.5,
so not
correct.
Only nicely, it's matching your front springs.
Right, yep.
The next one, one of the top spring makers, in my opinion. Right. AEV.
Yes, AEV springs.
Yeah. Makes amazing springs. I used to be specific with them for a
some
long
of our,
period of time.
Some of our crew run them, like Mike runs them and stuff. Yeah.
The downside is your springs change color.
Yeah, they're a different color.
They're like blue or something.
Oh, darn. Yeah.
The AEV springs are good to 0 to 400 pounds, according to AEV.
Right.
And they're only a 3-inch spring. There's where the problems start to show up. So now we're a 3-inch height.
Right.
Yes, you can technically fit 37s with a 3-inch height, but we're now taking away up travel, a bunch of other things, but it seems to be the way the market's going is they have not caught up to the fact that most overlanders also want to have a huge Jeep.
Huge tire, yeah, huge tire.
So, like, we have some overlanders on 40s. I don't understand what's going on.
I don't know. Looks super cool, though.
No, it doesn't. So, the next one is, I think they're an Australian company. They're really big in all other types of vehicles, but Dobinson.
Yeah, Dobinson. Yeah.
So, luckily, when we got the springs, they weren't teal.
Yeah,
some of theirs are teal.
They used to be teal.
Well, yeah. Some of them still are. Yeah. They have two offerings, nicely enough.
Right.
But they're also both 3-inch heights. So that's our downside.
Right.
So they have one that goes 440 to 660 pounds extra.
Okay. Now we're talking.
Which is good.
Now
and then they have one that's 880 to 1210.
Oh, there we go.
So now we're really talking.
Right.
Those are the springs we swapped into Sean's recently to see what they do.
Right. Yeah.
And yes, 3 inches is not enough for Sean.
Right. Cute joke.
Or his wife.
So we coupled that. We left a spacer
in
there, I believe, too,
right? We left the 1.5-inch spacer in there.
Right.
Because we have to get it high enough for him to clear his 40s.
Clear his 40s.
At least he has high-clearance fenders, but you still, we needed a certain amount of height. And he just had it in Moab and said everything worked great.
Yep.
We had to add spring retainers because the springs weren't very long, and it flexed a lot, so we had to make sure they didn't fall out of the truck.
Right.
But
We had to make our own spring retainers for that? Is that what we did? We custom made our own?
I think we used some parts of Terraflex and
spring
then we
retainers.
Had to use make some parts because the Dana 60 axles changed
things. Sean has the Dana 60.
So we had to do some stuff different for the Dana 60s.
Okay.
But we also had to weld on sway bar brackets for the anti-rocks on those. We had to do...
Yeah, there's a lot of custom stuff going on there. Yeah.
People don't understand the deeper you get down the rabbit hole of heavy-duty stuff, the more stuff doesn't just... plug in.
Yeah, it doesn't plug and play or work with each other.
You have to make it fit.
Yeah.
You have to custom things. You have to dial it into exactly what you want it to do.
Yeah.
There's not a, it's not a puzzle.
Yeah.
Or if it is, they didn't cut it well.
Yeah.
But
we have three
choices of spring.
So three choices, again, with the weights, just to go through it. So Terraflex R, what's the weight rating?
100 to 300 pounds.
100 to 300 pounds.
For a 3.5-inch rear HD spring.
Okay, so that's extra load. And then we have the AV springs, which are...
0 to 400
0
at
3-inch. 3-inch. And then we have the Dobson, which are two brands.
440 to 660 and 880 to 1210, both 3-inch springs.
Right, okay.
So we've used 3 out of 4 of those.
Yes. Which ones haven't we used?
We haven't tried the smaller Dobinson.
Yeah, we haven't tried those.
So we've tried the really heavy ones.
Really heavy ones.
It's done the AV ones.
Yeah.
And we've done the Terraflex.
So this all comes down into when people come in here. This is why we always ask them, what is your end goal with your vehicle?
Yeah.
Because if we install a set of 1,200 extra pound Dobinsons in here and you're going to drive around empty for a year, you're going to have a very, very bad time.
Yeah. And honestly, it's not that much extra work or cost
to
put those springs in later.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have the weight, it's going to drive around like a one-ton truck unloaded, and you're not going to like it, and then you're going to want to get rid of it anyway.
Yeah.
But all in all, that's half the reason we ask what you're going to do with your Jeep.
Right, yeah.
Because it's not as simple as, here's the lift, we call it a day. There's a lot of little things, like I said.
Yeah.
Now we're on to the other thing is, oh, we've got all that weight. How do we stop it?
Yeah, so how
we
do we stop this?
Kill somebody.
Yeah, because again, it's hard to stop. Your brakes can heat up when you've got... you're almost double your payload. Let's say in some cases, you're almost double and you're going down a hill and, you know, and whether you're off-road or more importantly, when you're on-road, how are you going to stop?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a popular thing here has been the Terraflex.
We have been using the Terraflex Delta Brake system.
Yeah. So why that one? Because we get to ask a lot of questions, what's the difference in between the rotors and the clamping force? But
so basically, out of all the kits out there, once again, it's just like the Falcon Shocks. It is the best product for the money.
Right.
Like it comes in a little cheaper than like a high-end Brembo or Bear brake kit, which I don't even know if each of them has a kit for these.
Right, yeah.
And it's nicer than some of the lower-end stuff.
Right.
All four calipers are identical.
Okay.
You get four piston calipers at all four corners.
Okay, there
considering you go. The Jeep has like two piston one and one piston the other side.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And
so that's your clamping force.
Yeah. And it's a lot easier to use more pistons than a giant piston.
Right.
So... yeah. That's why you don't have to upgrade your master cylinder with these.
Gotcha.
So you also get a bigger slotted rotor, and it just works. Like, it is one of the nicest parts about all of our AMW builds is that we put the brakes on all of them.
And it is night and day.
It is night and
it
day.
It is absolutely
but
night and day.
But it's not yeah. snap your neck into the windshield.
No, it
it's
doesn't.
It's just
yeah.
smooth.
Yeah. yeah, it's smooth, but it's quick. Like, it's, yeah, it's quite something. So if you're, so we do that a lot, too. We just did that this week a couple times. One to a gentleman from Washington State with a Super Pacific camper yep. and was in Moab and felt, hey, I need my braking force. And yep. we ended
so
up in
so we came here,
that,
so. We put the brakes
yep.
on.
Yep.
So it's, you
easy,
don't have
easy
to do
to install,
all.
Easy to bleed.
Yeah,
we've never had a problem with these brakes in the years. Six
haven't
plus
had
years
to warranty a piece yet.
No, it's been awesome. So.
And you see them; they're yeah. anodized. They're beautiful aluminum
yeah,
brakes.
Yeah, they're gorgeous to look at.
They're very
yeah.
well done. They even have like nice bleeder valves that are
yeah.
that hold in the pressure. They don't really help us because we use a bleeding machine, but
right.
They would help if you're doing it in your driveway. It would make yeah. it a little easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's something a lot of people never consider is the brakes.
Right.
No, just putting on a better pad and rotor is not going
no,
to
that's
solve
not gonna
the
do
main
it.
Problem.
No, if you don't change your clamping force,
it's,
right?
To me, and I know there'll be data out there to prove me wrong, but yeah, yeah. it's just like throwing in a cold air intake and exhaust. It's more of a you think it's better than it really is.
Then it really is better, yeah.
It just tends to put more brake dust, if anything
yeah,
else.
Yeah, yeah.
But more clamping is, like, you can't beat
right.
more clamping force
right.
and a bigger rotor with it.
Right.
So that's also one of the reasons I kind of don't like the Dana 60s and 80s that everyone's doing is
right.
the brakes aren't as good.
Right. Yeah.
Like, yes, AMW has some that I think they have some like 6 or 8 piston caliper options.
Oh, okay.
That are pretty nuts, but very few, you don't
yeah,
see
have,
those on any
those.
Other
yeah,
brake,
yeah,
any
those.
Other axle brand has none of that.
Right.
And so we've
what
had
are the Fusion axles that we did for our customer? We had the Fusion axles. What brakes are on those?
They're just like a big 1-ton brake. I forget whether it's from a Chevy
okay.
or a Ford.
Okay.
But we did have bleeding issues with those because it's just one giant piston. And
right, we did.
It was
yeah.
just, I don't know if it's enough clamping force, but yeah. when you do a semi-float, you
right.
can use all the brakes. Or if you get a 60 from TerraFlex,
right.
They'll come with
they'll come
Delta
with
brakes
them.
On it, even
already
if it is
it.
8-bolt.
Yeah.
But downside is I don't think they have full sets of axles yet. I think they're still finishing up the front or rear,
okay.
the full float. So,
right.
but once that would really be one I look at the most because of the braking.
Right. So we have, if you're overloaded, which most of our customers are, if you're overloaded, we're looking at essentially the HD springs in the rear, depending for set. Yeah. And then we're looking at the braking force is also important, which we just talked about. And
re-gearing.
Then the third thing is the re-gearing. That comes up a lot.
Re-gearing.
People are really confused as to why they'd want one.
So regearing, it's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
Yes, once you regear, there's very slim chance you will get warranty on any of your axle from the dealership.
Right, yeah.
Which, it's a price you pay. I would rather be regeared. I don't care.
Right, yeah.
So regearing, one, helps so you can actually keep that eighth gear on the highway.
Right.
That's kind of nice to
yeah,
have it.
It's not kind of hunting from 6 to 7, 6
no,
to 7, 8 once
it,
in a
it
while.
It just works.
Yeah, stays in eighth.
It helps your gas mileage around town.
Yep.
It helps your torque, your low torque. It helps your crawl ratio.
Right.
It helps so the engine and tranny is not working as hard to move the vehicle,
right.
whether it's the weight of the vehicle or the larger tires.
Right.
And what gear you choose is all based on personal preference. A lot of people think you can go straight to 538s.
Yeah, it's too
but that's
yeah.
some people like them. Nate loves his 538s and his diesel
yeah.
with 39s. I've had 456s yeah. a few times.
Well, there's,
sometimes
there's
I wish
charts
I
out there. I usually bring up the chart because we have that chart.
Is the chart out anymore?
Yeah, I think it's still out. I think we still do that. As you look at the chart, I know there was one for my EcoDiesel when we were looking at the EcoDiesel because we ended up with 456s instead of 488s in the EcoDiesel, and that brought me on 38-inch tires almost. I think it was like 2% more than stock.
Yeah,
2% taller than stock. But generally, yeah, you don't want to go super, super deep. But you do if you're doing rock crawling and you're a lot of
yeah.
weight and that's your time spent off road. But you're going to have a bad time on the highway when you're doing high RPMs just trying to coast at 100 miles
yeah,
an hour, right?
You're
so
pretty much.
There's all these trade-offs that way. So typically, we tell people 488 gears with
for
an automatic.
Sevens.
For 37s, or you're going to go with a 456 if you have an EcoDiesel, or you want a bit more
and
gas
And if you're
mileage.
Real heavy, we're probably going to push you up to 513s.
Yeah, 513s if you're heavy. And generally, we're not going past that. I'm just gun-shy because, again, I had 513s on one of my JKs. And, again, until you see a ring and pinion on the table and you see all the teeth and you see how thick the
you
teeth
see,
are.
Like, I know it's different with the new gears.
Well, the new gears are a little different, but still, you have more teeth the steeper you get. And they get thinner. And, you know, to me, I'm just always cautious, but I don't want to throw a tooth again. But yeah, when you re-gear, we always we use a local company. We don't do it here. Why don't we do it here?
I don't want the shop to smell like gear oil.
That's number one.
One.
I don't
That's
want the place
one.
To stink. Yeah.
Two, it's an art form.
It is.
I don't care what anyone says. It's an art form.
Yeah.
and you're either good at it or you're not.
So you shouldn't go to a backyard mechanic in his garage. Well, I know, again, some people could be...
Some people can be good at it.
They can be good at it, but...
But there's a couple things about rear gear. One, always ask what they're putting in.
Right.
Our guy,
yep.
He specifically uses Dana Spicer gears at all cost.
Right.
So they require very minimal break-in. If you change the fluid a bit after you've ran it for a while,
yep.
It's not going to come out like a thick silver paste,
right? Yeah,
which is nice. I've never had hardening problems or the coating comes off.
Right.
I've had that with two other companies. Don't. I am not a big fan of rebuild kits.
Yeah, the rebuild kits.
Multiple shim packs have failed constantly. Yeah.
We've seen that before, and that's happened to my own diff. Before I knew any better, I took it to a place. This is years ago. I needed 5 thou on one side and like 4 thou on the other. So instead of using a single 5 thou shim and a 4 thou shim on either side, I had a 2 and a 3 on one side and 2 twos on the other side. And so eventually, and again, it was one of those cheaper rebuild kits, is the expansion and contraction of the metal under load, under heat, and all of a sudden the shims fell out. And then I've got a clackety-clackety, and then everything's all thrown out.
Then... Depending how quickly you catch it, depends on how many pieces are broken.
Yes, that's true. Yep.
So, but our guy uses factory shims.
Yep.
It's costly.
Yeah, it's costly.
It requires him to stock a bunch of weird sizes.
Yeah.
But he puts one shim per side based on a micrometer setting.
Right, yeah.
So that's that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And here's a question we get all the time. Yes,
yeah.
You do have to re-gear the front and the rear.
Do we get that? I think
we've had that question. I've had that a few questions.
Both have to be the same.
Both have to be the same. Trust me.
Otherwise, your transfer case is going to have a very bad day.
Yeah, it will not go well if you slam it into gear, four-wheel drive, and you have two completely different gear sets.
Yeah.
it's not good times.
Oh, man.
But now, so you've got overloaded vehicle.
Overloaded vehicle.
Re-gearing to help the powertrain.
Correct.
Braking. To help the pedestrians around you.
Yes.
Or whatever you're doing. Maybe you have people in your car you care about. It's a crazy idea.
I know. It's
like
nuts.
Babies and dogs and...
They can fend for themselves.
I don't know. Maybe like a collectible comic book collection. I don't know what
you
carry with you.
Who knows what you carry with
but all these things come into play and are very helpful.
Right.
So when you're designing around your build... You do have to start thinking a little longer term.
Yep.
Like maybe you want to spend a little bit extra money and do a lot of more aluminum lightweight stuff.
Right. Yep.
Especially if you're not planning to do a lot of rock crawling. There's nothing wrong with aluminum.
Yeah, we've had aluminum bumpers.
So we've had aluminum skid plates, everything. Like all of that stuff takes away from payload.
Right.
And the characteristics of how the vehicle was designed to
drive. So you want it lighter, but there is a trade-off with aluminum.
There is. You can get aluminum with cutting boards on it.
Yes.
Remember, we can cut chicken upside down under the car.
Yeah.
So that stuff works.
So taking off a payload, everything you add to it, I think people just don't kind of sit down and just do some basic math or open an Excel spreadsheet and just kind of add in there and start to see what they're working with so they're not overloaded and dangerously driving around and having a bad time.
And like I've probably said before, where we live, that number on the door can never be changed.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you do to it. If you do all this stuff we're talking about.
So I may have upgraded the springs and the brakes and stuff like that. And it, in theory, should be able to handle the load.
Yeah.
Legally, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter at all.
It's just as illegal as tires sticking out.
Right.
Yeah. So that said, I also didn't make the frame stronger.
No. Yeah.
To carry the load. I didn't change any of the brackets that hold the springs and the shocks to make them strong. Yeah. There's so many things come into play that we just got to be a little bit more cautious.
Agreed.
Like, you don't need to bring a microwave with you camping.
Pretty sure you do. How else will I make my Toll House cookies in the microwave?
You just buy cookies already cooked.
Oh,
or
it's not the same.
Use one of those sandwich makers in the fire that we can't have.
Yes. Yeah. So that kind of adds it to, and again, another thing just to reiterate is people also don't think about their water and their fuel and calculate that into the things. So you talked about that earlier, how much fuel weighs, how much water weighs. That has a lot of weight. You know, I carry, I'm always at almost 3 20-liter cans.
How many cases of beer gets really heavy?
Exactly, right? Got to have something to drink, but
never
mind all your chairs. And everything adds up really fast.
Everything.
So people don't think. It adds up super fast.
Firewood.
But again, you know, there's a lot of people driving around out there that have really capable rigs like this. We've done all these modifications to them. They've either done them at one time or they've worked up to them over time. And again, as you were saying, you can always swap out the springs later on as you add something heavier.
We try and let people know what they're getting into.
Yeah, know what you get into.
Like, we're not hiding the fact that there's a lot of weight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like if you ask me for a stubby bumper, I'm going to let you know that this isn't legal, but I will still sell it to you if this is what you want to run.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that was about all the stuff that we wanted to cover there, just to do with suspensions. And that's, again, all of this. Thank you for all the comments and stuff that we get. I am still absolutely shocked on how well our first two episodes has gone. But these are all based on what you, the public, wants to hear from us. And again, we just kind of give it to you straight. And we like to just be very, very straightforward with people. And that's just the way we kind of conduct ourselves. So that's what you get in this podcast when you ask these kind of questions. But by all means, fill out more questions below. Or if there's something that we touched on here that you know you think we need to touch on more, or it's more important, or we've missed something, by all means, just let us know.
Just like I tell my wife,
I'm
not perfect.
Definitely not. And then if we look at, you know, for us, the podcast, this is the third episode we're doing. We're going to do a fourth one and a fifth one, and we'll keep going with this as long as people find it interesting.
We'll give it a run of a dozen.
Give it a run of a dozen. Yeah, a good dozen to see what happens. But I was shocked again. We were number 7 in the automotive category in Canada, and we were number 28th we got up to in the automotive category in the States. And I didn't bother looking at Australia anymore because it just boggles my mind how there's so many automotive podcasts in Australia. But so this is doing well for us, and I'm glad people are getting a lot out of it. So thanks for your phone calls and your emails and all the comments on the videos and whatnot. Just lets us know that we're on the right track here. But
more topic ideas.
More topic ideas.
You know, I can spend time researching and writing out essays.
Yeah. And we get asked a lot about full-size trucks, so we do work on full-size Rams, including my own. So we're going to do a podcast on Swim Shady, our own Ram, and just what we've done with that, because we have done a lot of stuff with that and broken a lot of things and learned a lot. We've built a lot of trucks just like it, and people have been all over the place venturing in us. That's cool. And another one, for example, we'll do some podcasts on what's behind us here is I was just left on the shop today because we're in the middle of it, but this is a Ram 3500 and 40-inch tires, and we'll be talking about how we did that as well. But so all the full-size people, just chill out, take a chill pill, chill. We'll get to that in due time. Jeeps are our bread and butter, and that's where we get most of our questions, and most of the builds in here are Jeeps. So we'll just keep going down that road. Otherwise, thanks for listening. This has been Two Dudes, One Wrench. Again, this podcast was Do You Even Lift, Bro? I think we do. I think we do. I think we do lift. Cool.
Clearly not in the gym.
You have been listening to Do You Even Lift, Bro? We're Two Dudes, One Wrench. If you'd like to support our team, check out our website at epic-4wd.com, where you can purchase products for your Jeep Wrangler or Gladiator, lovingly crafted by Canadians with above-average intelligence. Stay tuned for more tales to come. Hey, Bill. Thanks for the offer, but we can't take your wife in on trade for your suspension build. Please go home. You're drunk.